Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. Really, there's no back because we were just here, but you know what I mean. There's another episode, and last week was good because we were able to get like 900 different topics off the. I feel like that was like 3 hours worth of material we did in like an hour and 10, hour and 15. So that was great, and we needed to catch up because we had missed, you know, a good chunk of time. So now we're up to date, but there's still a lot of events. There's still a lot of things to cover because, you know, I'm starting to tap in and watch a little bit more. I've been tapping in with the wrestling. Lee's already been watching the wrestling, but now I kind of know a little bit, so I can discuss it with him. And I've been tapping in with boxing as well. So and it's boxing's been having a crazy year, so they're pretty much just letting off a whole bunch of their fights, and it keeps on going. So, you know, we had boxing last weekend with UFC, and we had bare knuckle boxing with UFC. This weekend is just boxing and UFC, as far as I know. But before we get into anything like that, I already went too far. Introduce the host, Lee Real Talk.
Oh, man, I'm the co-host, man, my man. Yeah, man, there's a lot going on, bro, especially in combat sports, man. I can't wait till we talk about this bare knuckle. I don't watch it, but I have a lot to say about one of the combatants that fought at that show, man. And, we got a new main event for UFC 296. We're going to talk about that. But, yeah, man, I'm ready, bro, man. I just saw that Bryce Mitchell is stepping in for Giga Chikadze to fight Josh Emmett. So that's good. Yeah, man, I'm ready, bro. I'm ready.
The new main event. I know about the Giga fight. What's the new main event?
Leon Edwards versus Bilal.
Where did I see that at?
It came across my phone. Tell me that they ain't get me. Did somebody get me?
I think they might have got you, bro, because I remember seeing that a couple days ago, whenever that was. I saw some fake news go out that was saying that, but I didn't believe it because I saw who posted it, and I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they got me because I'm looking at the ESPN page and it has nothing about it. Thank you. Because I was like, man, please, because I like Bilal Muhammad, but I think me and you been like kind of, you know, been like really, you know, he been kind of sus lately, man, with some of the stuff he been saying. So I'm glad Kobe is still in there, though. So, yeah, man, I'm ready to talk about whatever it is you want to start at, bro.
Yeah, and that's the thing, bro, is that it's so tough because, like, you know, a lot of my boys, like, aren't really fans of Bilal, and, like, you see a lot of, like, he gets a lot of hate, and I think that, you know, it's a lot of, there's no reason for it. He gets a lot of, like, unnecessary hate, you know what I mean, before he says anything crazy, but once he stops talking, he does say a lot of things that he just shouldn't say, and I don't really understand why, like, he goes at things in that way sometimes, you know. He definitely he gets a lot of hate, but he also kind of brings a lot of hate towards him with the way his personality is. He kind of, like, just, like, absorbs, he kind of just, like, attracts it, he gets what he deserves in some cases, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but it does bring a lot of that hate to him with the way that he responds to things and just, like, the types of statements that he makes and the shirts, and I don't know, man. Bilal, I can't get down with everything he does, but I've always liked to watch him fight, and that's pretty much what it comes down to for me. Bilal as a person, I'm not really as big on him, but as a fighter, I've always been a fan of Bilal, even when he was just wrestling guys and his style was a little more boring. Nowadays, you see him standing and banging with guys, and you know, he got a standing TKO, gave, his first loss, Sean Brady. So So I was pretty crazy. And he was in. He stood in front of Gilbert Burns too. I want to say that was pretty much entirely a striking fight that they had. That was pretty cool to see that. But yeah, I think they got you on that one, bro. I think that was fake news. I remember when I saw it, I was like,
I'm gonna have to block that guy. I think he follows us on the Lee and Keys joint account, and I think somebody replied back to him like, "Man, you gotta stop." Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, "All right." But yeah, man. Hey, man. Bro, a lot happened this weekend, Keys. And actually, in wrestling, something big is happening tonight.
Yeah. Are you talking about Edge versus Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We're on the same page, man, because there could have been something else big. Because I also saw in wrestling, because CM Punk came back, and then Randy Orton came back at the same time. Randy Orton's one of my guys, too. And I did see that clip. That he officially signed the contract to SmackDown, and I saw him basically call out Roman Reigns in the ring. And so what's his name? You know, tell Roman Reigns I'm looking for him. Oh no, what did he say? He said because it was trending on Twitter. That's how I found out about it. Because it wasn't on YouTube. Like I've been watching the clips, but it said Daddy's Home was one of my trending tags, and I was like, what? I'm like, oh shit, I'm like, Daddy's Home, here I am thinking, like, I'm like, who's this gotta be, you know what I mean, this gotta be something big if they're saying that, and it's trending. I'm like, oh, is this McGregor? This is somebody big. And I click in, I'm like, alright, let's go. And then Randy Orton called Roman Reigns, I'm like, here we go.
Hey, man, they have done a good job bringing back CM Punk and Randy Orton. It's great the way they're doing it because basically what they did was they rolled both of them out at a pay-per-view, and then you had Randy Orton come out to start off Raw. Then you had CM Punk come out to end Raw. And then you had Randy Orton show up on SmackDown. And then this week, you're going to have CM Punk on SmackDown. And then on Monday, he's most likely going to sign to Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, man, they've been really, really smart with the rollout, with how they're doing it. I think they have to be a little careful with what they do with CM Punk. We already see what storyline they're going to do with Randy Orton. Randy Orton versus the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and them. And I'm cool with that because they're the ones that, quote-unquote, put them on the shelf. So I like that angle. But what do you do with CM Punk? Do you automatically put him in the title picture? Do you put him against Seth Rollins? You know, I have to see what they do with him. Is he a bad guy, a good guy, you know? So, but I love the way they rolled him out, and I can't wait to see the match tonight between Christian and Edge. I think it's going to have like a fluky ending, and you're going to have a continuation of the feud, but it's good to see them two go at it. And, you know, they're best friends in real life, so you know they're going to take care of each other, so they ain't going to, you know, it ain't going to be no fluky stuff where somebody get hurt, hopefully. So, yeah, I can't wait to see that main event tonight on AEW.
And what time, because I did piece it together that AEW is on Wednesday night?
Yes. They on Wednesday,
okay,
Friday, and Saturday.
They're on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday?
Yes. They have their main show is tonight, and then their secondary show is Saturday. But then they got like this little show they do on Friday, something like an hour long. I really don't watch it, but yeah, they got like a little hour long show that they do on Fridays.
Yeah, I was starting to piece together. What's the name of the one they do on Wednesdays?
Dynamite. Dynamite.
Is Collision one of the shows?
Yeah, Collision is the Saturday night show.
Okay. So Wednesday Dynamite and Collision's on. Okay. Because I was thinking Collision, that kind of sounded like, I was like, oh, that kind of sounds like it could be a pay-per-view. But, like, nah, I'm like, that's kind of light, though, for a pay-per-view. Maybe that's just, like, one of the – and I don't know what the format is. But either way, what time is that going to – what time do they go on Wednesday night after our show?
8 o'clock. They
so
normally go on 8 to 10, yeah. But sometimes they go over. So, and I don't know what kind of cable or service you got or whatever, but normally – they have a replay. I know on our on my cable service, we got TBS, TNT East, and then TNT West. So it normally come back on around 11 o'clock out. So I get the 8 o'clock, then the replay at 11. But a funny part, though, Keith, when you talk about Collision, you know, Collision was actually set up for the return of CM Punk when he came back to AEW. Because a lot of the guys be on Wednesday night, they didn't want to work with him. So they put him on Saturday night on Collision. And then, you know, he ended up doing something and they ended up firing him from AEW. But Collision was supposed to be his home show.
Hey, so it sounds like you have cable.
I do have cable.
Fire Stick.
I do have
all right,
that also.
All right. Cause, yeah, so because I don't have really – because I don't have – like I only have the streaming box from Xfinity. I have this Xfinity Flex box, which you can
mm-hmm.
– it's pretty much like Xfinity's version. I feel like it's Xfinity's take on a Fire Stick. You know what I mean? Same deal. It's like – go into it, it has all like free channels, certain things, you can watch free movies, and then you can, it has all the apps, so you can log into your Netflix and whatever, Paramount, etc. But I honestly don't, it, I don't even think mine works, and like I don't watch anything, so I didn't even really try to fix it. plus, I mean, I have two boxes, one's free, I pay like $5 a month for two boxes, so you can see how I'm really not that motivated to. As long as, like, my mom has hers, and I'm chill with that. Because, like, my mom watches much more TV, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I pay for it so she has hers, and, like, I don't really care about mine. But, you know, maybe I'll get a better setup now that I'm trying to watch, you know, some of these things because I do want to see. Like, I would like to watch that match. But then again, they say there's a way to stream everything, you know, and I need to just I need to just get hit with that because there's no way that, like, because there's got to be a way, even without a Fire Stick or anything, that you could just stream all this stuff, right?
I'll put it to you like this, Keys. You my man. You buy a Fire Stick, you mail it to me, and I'll hook you up with everything I have on mine. And once you get it, you'll be like, Lee, you the man.
Yo, that's real. Wow, that's real shit, bro. Yo. I appreciate that, man. Are you saying you gonna set me up with the accounts?
Dog, I'll hook you up with all the free TV, all the little programs you get to watch the movies and all that good stuff.
Wow.
I'll hook you up, bro.
This is wow.
You just buy the Fire Stick, mail it to me. I'll hook it up and I'll send it back to you, and then we'll just get on a video call and I'll walk you through how to use everything. And you're going to be like, Lee, look, man, you're on my Christmas list for the year.
that's crazy. That's in a good way. That's like, wow. Oh, that's some real shit, bro. That's the type of stuff right there, man. That is it. That is the type of stuff, man. You got to have that. Like, that's the energy right there, man. Wow, I appreciate that so much. Lee's in the holiday spirit too, man. Lee's in the holiday spirit. That's a part of it too. He's feeling merry. I like that.
Yeah, man. You know, man. It's you know, it's sharing is caring.
That's real shit, man. That's the realest shit ever, bro. That's so sick. We'll do that too, just because that's such a kind gesture and such an epic deal that it's like, okay, I gotta buy the fire stick and we gotta just go ahead and do it, because that's fire, bro. And really, for the match tonight, what I think will probably happen is, I feel like, so Christian, like, because I've only seen, like, bits and pieces of it, you know, because I'm, like, watching clips back on YouTube. Like, they post a lot of the stuff. I think AEW, I think it's, like, their channel that I watch a lot of it on. So, like, I get to watch, like, some of the matches and, like, some of these, you know, these talking segments on the mic and stuff. But, I mean, I saw how Christian pretty much, like, put this whole show on trying to apologize to Edge or, you know, Adam Copeland. And I was just like, man, get on with this. like the crowd was not feeling that at all. They were like, no way, we ain't not having that. We're not doing that. And you see Edge is kind of like, he's kind of looking, he's stressing. I'm like, I feel you, because this is like some hardcore gaslighting stuff right now. Like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, here's this guy. Like, after all this, you know what I mean? He told you go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? He did all this, trying to have you jump and bring all the security down. And now he's gaslighting you in front of everybody, trying to apologize. And Edge comes out, you know, ready to fight. You know what I mean? Edge is ready for the smoke right there. You know, and this guy, here's this guy talking about, damn, I just want to apologize. It's like, man, you got to get on with that, bro. What I think will probably, I mean, it's kind of easy to see that you got to, I know that they got banned from ringside the last title match they had, right? It was Christian Cage and versus Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
Didn't they get banned? He's calling him Killswitch. It's Killswitch now, but it was, I know he got like rebaptized, or they got baptized or something, and he changed their name. So
yeah, he used to be Luchasaurus. Now he on Killswitch.
Yeah, and Nick Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Then now his name is like Nick the Great or something like that.
Yeah, Nick the Great. But the funny part is, he renamed Luchasaurus to what his finishing move was called. His finishing move used to be called the Killswitch. That's crazy, dog.
That's pretty weak, then.
Yeah.
Damn, yep. He didn't even try. Well, yeah, Luchasaurus kind of gives me off like that Kane. Luchasaurus kind of reminds me of like Kane, like old school Kane mixed. Like, he really is like, reminds me of like old school Kane with the mask like that. That's really what he reminds me of. But like old school Kane mixed with Umaga. Like, if you put those two, like the Boogeyman, like you put like those three characters together in a blender, like, I feel like you get Luchasaurus out of that. And,
yeah, that's a good one.
And those are like three really like dope characters. Like, Kane was always fun. Like, all those were good characters. Like, when every time the Boogeyman was in, I'm pretty sure the Boogeyman, didn't the Boogeyman pass away too, didn't they say? I think he did.
I don't know. I had to look that up, because I want to say at one of the little WWE tribute shows, he was like still doing creepy stuff. You know, with the worms and shit, so.
Bro's eating worms and stuff. I don't know, bro. That guy, we might got to get him checked out, man. That guy was kind of wild.
Yeah, man. No, he's still alive.
Some of these dudes. What?
He's still alive.
So I think it was Umaga that passed away. I think now that it hits me, I think Umaga passed away.
Yeah, I saw that on, I think that came out over the weekend or something with somebody. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but yeah, but, man, he's still alive.
I just feel like, well, rest in peace, Umaga. That was always I always like to watch Umaga fight. But I do think that you'll probably end up, I, I, we, kind of see. It's probably going to be, you know, they're going to have a great match, and then Edge is probably going to get screwed out of the match. You know, Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne going to come down and jump him or something, or whatever, and or he's going to lose the match. It's going to be like the ref's going to be distracted. You know, I've watched a lot of years of wrestling, bro. I've seen this story before. You know what I mean, they're going to rob Edge. I can tell you the whole match. They're going to rob Edge. I can already see it now. It's going to be Edge is going to have the match won, and then the ref's going to get, like, hit with a chair or something crazy or whatever. Like, he's going to get, like, he's going to get distracted by Nick Wayne. That's what's going to happen. He's going to be distracting him. And then Luchasaurus is going to come from behind Edge and hit him with, like, his finishing move or something crazy. And then Edge is probably going to get up from it. And then Christian's going to hit him with a move. And then by the time the ref turns around, he's going to get the three count. It's going to be some BS, bro. Watch. I'm telling you. If that happens, bro, you know, telling you. Coming.
Yeah, it's going to be something weird, man. It's going to be something.
They're not
going to
let Edge get a fair shake. I already know.
Nah. They're going to milk this story probably to their next pay-per-view. So they gonna milk it a little longer, man.
Yeah,
because you
gotta have that match. It's gotta be bigger, you know what I mean? You can't just let that rock. That's like bringing, you know what I'm saying? That's like the UFC to do the big title fight on the fight night card. It's like, come on, bro. Like, we gotta do that on pay per view, man. We can't be doing that at the Honda Center, bro. We gotta do that at MSG. You know what I mean, we gotta do it under the big lights. I mean, we can't do it at the UFC Apex. You know what I mean,
well,
we got to bring that to the MGM Grand.
Well, they actually doing it in Montreal tonight. So they doing it in Canada tonight. You know, both of them from Canada. So they actually, but I don't. They gonna milk it a little longer though, man. But hey, man, let's transition into last Saturday, bro. Oh, geez. Last Saturday was action-packed, man.
That was crazy. That was a crazy
last
night of
Last Saturday
fight,
was action-packed. I said
it was
that
crazy.
I had that this card has the possibility of being the card of the year. And I know I might have been in the minority when I said that, but this card was crazy. All right, Keys, man, we got to talk about it, man. The referee in the Bobby Green fight should be either suspended or fined. Your thoughts on the Bobby Green Jalen fight?
And I just want to point out, we had two slam KOs back to back that night. We had Cody Brundage won by slam KO, right? And weird, because Cody Brundage won by slam KO right after Jakar Close won by slam KO. It was almost like Cody Brundage saw that from the back and was like, yo, I got to try that move. And then he just was able to do it right after. That's so crazy. Like, because I'm pretty sure they said that the slam KO, the last time it happened was like 5 years ago. It was like, I think it was 4 years ago. Like, a slam KO does not often happen. But we got two of them. And you were right. That card was so crazy. From a betting perspective, it was a card I'm trying to forget about. Because there was, I think everybody in the entire betting world got absolutely smoked by that card, because it was so unpredictable that it was really hard to tell like what, and there was so many underdog wins, bro. Look, Misha Tate won and dominated. She was an underdog. Cody Brundage, big underdog, slam KO, was the underdog. There was a couple other underdogs in there for sure. I don't know off top. Darush got KO'd in the first round. That was crazy. Bobby Green, you're asking about Bobby Green. Got KO'd in the first round. That was crazy. That ref, I don't even think that ref should be refereeing no more. I think that should be it, at least for the UFC. You gotta show people that you can't operate like that. Because the thing is this, fine, suspended, whatever you want, I guess. But my initial thing is he shouldn't be reffing another fight. If he makes a bad call like that, bro, that call could ruin Bobby Green's career. Like, he might be really messed up after that. I hope he's not. He might be really messed up after that, though. If Bobby Green takes his next fight, and all of a sudden we start to see that Bobby Green seems a lot more – if Bobby Green seems a lot more chinny after this, that referee ruined his career 100%. Because Bobby Green is not chinny, and he goes into firefights. He's not chinny at all. He's probably one of the best chins in the UFC. You don't remember a time Bobby Green got KO'd before that. I don't even – don't think I've seen that happen myself. So for him to get KO'd there, obviously Jalen Turner lands some great shots, and Jalen Turner's a beast. Fair play. Everyone is going to – the chin – you will get caught eventually, you know, and that's what happened. Bobby Green's in his late 30s. He got caught eventually, and it happened. It just happened to Drew Dober. Drew Dober had a phenomenal chin. You get caught eventually. Max Holloway has never even been knocked down, never mind been knocked out. But, you know, more likely than not, I hope he doesn't get caught, but Max will probably get caught eventually. You know what I mean? Most of these guys do eventually. Volkanovski, I'm pretty sure, had never been KO'd. You know, he just got caught eventually. And what's Volkanovski, 34, 35? You know, eventually you get hit. Islam got him. I mean, that was on short notice. I think that's a big factor as to why. But overall, great shots. All respect to Jalen Turner, but it just sucks to see that. And the referee, that was way too late. You let way too many unanswered shots go. That was absolutely insane. That was the worst stoppage I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of bad stoppages. That one was the worst one by far. I was, like, really uncomfortable watching that because it was like, okay, he's out. Okay, he's hitting him still. 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 It's like, bro, he's been done for a while. Like, as soon as Bobby Green was flat on his stomach, the fight was over. Like, you could literally see his body flatten out. It was done. Like, and it bothers me so much when you see guys get into the debate of like, oh, but he wasn't out. It's like, bro, we got to stop with the, like, oh, if they're out or they're not out thing. Like, bro, the fight's over. First of all, he was out. So that just for that point, he was out. So if we're going to try to say that, that's incorrect because he definitely was out. But, and you could see it in the body language, the way his body opened up and he flattened out. That's the position that most, it's done. You know what I mean? If you're in that position, the fight's probably over. You're either getting submitted or you just got pounded out, and it was very clear that he was out. And the ref, look, you would much rather be, I would much rather be complaining about early stoppages than complaining about late stoppages, because at least an early stoppage, yeah, that's going to affect the title or the career as far as the win record, but a late stoppage is going to affect the fighter's health. That's going to affect, you know,
yeah,
how much they can take in their career, and that could even affect their life. You know what I mean? You could die from taking too many shots. You know,
shots,
you could
die
in the cage, or you could die in the ring. So to say it's an early stoppage is way less harmless than to be criticized for a late stoppage. One early stoppage, you're gonna get criticized because they say the guy was still in the fight, but at least you were watching out for the fighters. When it's a late stoppage, we have to question if you're really watching out for the fighters, and how good is your judgment to judge fights if you couldn't see that Bobby Green was out way before you stopped that, way before, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 shots before you actually stopped that. Now, if Bobby Green goes in and we see him get wobbled in his next fight, we know where to turn to.
Well, I'm going to put it like this. Bobby Green should not fight again for about 4 months. I say 4 months at the earliest. You know, I think, you know, he prides himself on being active. But this is one of them times, man, where being active probably hurting you, because you're not letting your body heal, bro. Your body is always being stressed because you're always training. You're always fighting. You have to give your body and your mind time enough to recharge. But like you said, man, at first when I looked at it, I was like, okay, maybe the referee trying to let Bobby, you know, like recover or whatever. But once I saw the shots Jalen was dropping, I was like, bro, come on, man. What are we doing here? Stop the fight, bro. Just stop the fight. Bobby Green is one of my favorite fighters. Like I told you, like, you know, Keys on Bobby Green is one of my favorite fighters. I respect him and Angela Hill so much, man, because they are really, really active, and they are probably two of the fighters that the UFC can call and be like, hey, we have somebody drop out. You ready to go? And they just take short notice fights. They willing to jump in there. So I have much respect for him. But, Bobby, man, take about 4 months off, man. Let your body reheal. Let your mind recharge and get back in there, man. Because every time he starts to crawl up the ranks, he have a loss like this. He was crawling up the ranks, then he took a short notice fight against Islam. Bad move. You know, he just won. And now, you know, he back trying to creep up the rankings. Now he wanted to do a quick turnaround to fight on this card, and he loses. So, you know, man, take your time and get back, bro. Just take your time and get back. Jalen is a beast, man. Jalen is a young stud. Man, he look awesome. But let's transition to this, Keys. Let's transition to the main event, bro. Dariush, man. He's another one, dog. Every time we hitch our horse to him, man, the wheels come off. It's like, I think this fight, he will never get a title shot, Keys. I hate to say it. I don't think Dariush will ever get a title shot, man. What was your thoughts of Sarukian versus Dariush, bro?
That was tough, bro. I mean, now, you know, Dariush, I had so much faith in him, you know what I mean, to win that fight. I want to say I didn't bet that fight, but I have faith. And I said, Dariush's level is better than Armin Saryukin, man. And, you know, it's hard to say that now. I mean, Armin Saryukin just KO'd him in the first round. And it's tough for Dariush because it's really a sad story for Dariush. You know, it's like, here's a guy that was on a long win streak. I think he was like 9-fight win streak or something like that. And undefeated for years. And, you know, they never give him his title shot that he deserved. And, you know, he gets skipped over a bunch of times. Then, he ends up fighting Charles Oliveira. Then they're like, okay, if he beats Oliveira, you got to fight for the title, right? Gets KO'd by Oliveira in the first round. And now it's like, okay, now he's going to fight Armin Saryukin, which is pretty much like probably like a more losing – like probably more of a lose-lose for him. Like, there wasn't really that much to gain beating Armin. And
no,
he gets KO'd again in the first round. So he's now been KO'd twice in the first round in the span of, like, 8 months or something like that. And, you know, I mean, it's twice in a year. It doesn't matter the months, but it's just that's really tough. So he's really fallen. And you hate to see it because he should have gotten a title shot before that. You know what I mean? And it's like, but this is just, sadly, like, this is what the UFC does, though, is that, like, they'll put guys aside that should already fight for the title, wait till they're no longer, you know, eligible for the title, or they fight themselves out of the title contention.
Yep.
And then they'll try to, like, give them that fight that could get them there. And then they lose it. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, now he's definitely not getting the title shot. And it's like, bro, he should have gotten it in the first place. Like, that's pretty much the exact thing that they did to Tony Ferguson. Like, they pretty much did the same thing to Beneil Dariush they did to Tony Ferguson. Like, it's almost wild. It's like the same exact thing. Tony Ferguson should have got the title shot way before he even did the interim. Like, he should have already been in it. There shouldn't have even been an interim title. I shouldn't say way before the interim, but around that time, or probably even before the interim, slightly before that, he should have been fighting for the Undisputed title. He already had the wins that he needed. You know, Edson Barboza was like one of the top dudes at 155 at that time. Tony Ferguson beat him. He should have been fighting for the title then, bro. It's like the fact that, you know, he'd already had wins in the top five and he wasn't even being like
considered,
put in place. Yeah, it's like he wasn't even being considered for the Undisputed title. It's like, bro, what is going on? And then he fought for the interim title. He wins the interim title. And then, you know, he has about five fights with Habib fall off. And they just kind of let him slip through the cracks. He never gets his shot. And it's like, bro, what the hell is going on? It's like, Habib, like, that fight, you know, they should have just made it happen. Something like, maybe that fight was cursed, but you had to have Tony fight for the belt, bro. Tony should have already fought for the belt before Habib ever fought for the belt, realistically. So
true.
The fact that we're talking about that fight fell through five times, and that's why Tony never got a shot, really doesn't even make any sense. Because that he shouldn't have had a fight Habib for the belt. It should have been Tony was fighting whoever was the guy. It should have been, realistically, it probably should have been Eddie Alvarez, you know, or RDA versus Tony Ferguson. Because those were the guys that were the champs at that time. And then once Conor won, it probably should have been McGregor versus Ferguson. It should have been one of those guys. Because those were the guys that were there at the time. It was, RDA was there. Eddie Alvarez was there, McGregor was there. Those were like the 155, and then Pettis was there, you know, not long before that. But those were the guys that were champ around that time. Tony should have been fighting with those guys. That should have been the guys he should have been matching up with. Habib wasn't even in the picture yet for that. And Ferguson was already on a long win streak, and Habib was, you know, fighting nobodies. Okay, let's have it right. He was fighting nobodies. And don't get me going. I'm going to stop right there because, you know, I can't stand it when I talk about Habib. He has such a padded record. It's unbelievable. The 29-0 is so fraudulent. And I respect his skills, and I think he's a great and he's phenomenal. But that is a padded record like you could never believe. Like, when you add up the records of his opponents, I'm pretty sure there's so many losses in there. It's unbelievable when you add up the wins and losses of the guys he fought. So it's really sad. But the whole point is going back, is that Dariush got done just like Ferguson, and you hate to see it. And the UFC will move guys around, and it almost seems like it's done on purpose, is to get them out. Oh, I don't want to have him fight at this time, or Dariush isn't exciting, or whatever, he's not a draw, or Tony's not a draw, whatever they want to say at that time. And that just sucks. So, I feel bad for Dariush. He needs to take some time off. I feel bad for Bobby Green. They both need to take some time off and rest up and come back, you know, and get back after it. But, you know, Armin Saryukin is – I don't really like that guy, man. I'm really – the more he talks, I really don't like that guy. I really don't know why he felt that he had to, like, run – he had a run up on Bobby Green in the hotel when he was by himself with like six of his boys. And like, I listened to the audio and you can hear it. Like, Armin says to him, like, oh, you've been talking shit about me. And Bobby Green's like sitting there by himself. And he's like, what? Like, it's just like mad confusing. And it's like, yo, if any man you pull up, all right, this is America, right? If you pull up on, at least for me, when I see how Bobby Green reacted to that, in the initial and even after, I mean, I get both. I get Bobby Green's like, okay, you guys, you know, want to do that. And then Bobby Green comes back with his guys. I'm not saying it should happen. It shouldn't have happened in the beginning. But who instigated that? You know what I'm saying? Who walked up with the whole crew on a single guy by himself, basically threatening him? You're basically putting pressure on him, trying to get him to react is what you did. You know what I mean? You basically wanted to fight him right there, but you have your whole crew there. So then, if that wasn't going your way, then you can jump him. That's what that reads. You know, from what you know, exactly. But that's you know, I don't know how y'all operate or what that is to you, but where I'm from, you know, I'm from the East Coast. That's what that reads. If you walk up on somebody and you have five of your guys with you, but you want to fight that guy one-on-one, that reads that most likely, if that starts not going your way, that's easy grounds that you could get jumped right there. You know, that's what that reads. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's what I'm going by. Is just saying that's what I know. I know that to be true. And that's weak. And I just also know that walking up with five of your guys on one guy is just, you know, that's just coward shit. You know what I mean? That's total coward shit. Like, there's been many times where I've walked up to somebody that I had a problem with by myself, you know, and there were times where people talked to me crazy when they were with a group of people, and then I'm like, okay, and I don't really say much then, but then I go and find them when it's one-to-one, and I talk to them one-to-one, and they're completely different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They tone way down, they're not all hype anymore, they don't want to fight, it's a totally different energy when I talk face one-to-one, nobody's around. You see a totally different energy. I've seen it happen. And it happens in many places, I imagine. It happens everywhere. And I don't know what they do out there where Armin Fagan's from, but that was total coward shit, bro. What did you think?
Well, you could tell the energy was different when you look at both videos. Saruka's energy was way up when he had the numbers. But when Bobby came by and he had the numbers, he wanted to talk it out. Hey, bro, it wasn't like that, you know, la, 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 la. And his energy was way down because he was in a less power position. But, you know, man, looking at Benil, man, you know, man, he was on the 8-fight winning streak, didn't get a title shot. Now he'd have lost the last two fights via first-round KO. Out of his 6 losses, 4 have been first-round KOs. The other 2 have either been knockouts after the first round or submissions after the first round. So I feel bad for my man because he ain't going to get a title shot, bro. That's it. You know, unless he can go on another hellacious, you know, run. But the UFC, basically what they did was they stalled him out. They was like, we're going to keep having you fight. And we believe that you will lose before we have to give you a title shot. And they stalled him out long enough, and it's finally happened. So, you know, I think Benil's just one of them guys. He believed in himself and he believed in his skills. So he was going to keep fighting until the UFC had no choice. But they stalled him out, and, you know, he'll probably never – I know he's never going to fight for the title unless something fluky happened when somebody posts a fight and then they fall off the fight and they call him saying, hey, this is your chance of getting a title fight. And he probably step in or something like that. But, you know, man, you know – Sarukian, man, he talked a lot of trash after that fight, man, saying that, you know, nobody in the top 5 wanted to fight him. Now that he's going to be in the top 5, he's going to fight guys in the top 5. So, you know, he talked this trash, he talked this noise, and when you win, that's when you're supposed to do it. But at the same time, it's like, bro, let me look at your profile real quick. Let me pull you up. Let me see how I feel about you saying all this, all right? Let me see what big names on your record there, Armin. We got Gamrot. We got Benil. I don't even know who that is. Let's see. Favola up there. Armin Mercier, he up there, but he's over in PFL. I really don't see any names on your list there, fella. And you lost to Islam. You lost to Gamrot. So what are we talking about here, Keys? He talking about he wants to either get a title shot or fight a top five opponent, but your resume doesn't look top five to me. But, hey, who am I, man? We got one more fight to talk about, then we're going to move on, people. Figgy, Rob Font. I did not see that coming, Keys. I thought Figueiredo would still be powerful at 135, but I thought he may struggle in his first fight. Boy, was I wrong. What was your thoughts on Figueiredo making his bantamweight debut, bro?
I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, I'm not. What I've seen people say about it is a little bit wild. I mean, I see people saying like that's the best. I see people saying that's the best Figueiredo we've ever seen. I'm like, what? Like, you thought that? I mean, the striking wasn't really there. I mean, I didn't really see him landing the way he usually does in his fights. I mean, I didn't think that was better striking than what I've seen from him, you know, against Brandon Moreno. I don't know why they would say that. But, and then, I mean, the wrestling was there, but what, I mean, he never really was able to do that, like, that much with the, I mean, what did he do with the wrestling? I mean, I might have memory loss. Like, wasn't he taking Rob Font down and Rob Font was getting up pretty quick? Like, wasn't that?
He had 4 minutes of control time.
Okay, so we have 4 minutes. Okay, so that's good. But I guess because he's wrestling now, maybe that's why people thought that, and because it's up a division. But I don't know why they're saying that was like a 10 out of 10 Figueiredo. I don't think that at all. I would probably rate that performance maybe like a 6 out of 10. Probably like firm 6 out of 10. I don't think I would really – I wouldn't go lower because it was a good performance, but I wouldn't go higher because I really don't think the striking was that good. I mean, I feel like a lot of what was happening there, honestly, and I usually try not to say this, but, like, Rob Font wasn't really doing anything, man. I mean, he wasn't really – Rob Font, like, the jab wasn't there. Usually Rob Font's jabbing you all night. Like, Rob Font looked really, really tentative, man. He looked really, like he was – Rob Font looked like he was just trying to, like, counterpunch with Figgy, like, but he was already getting counterpunched, you know what I mean? So it was like, I think Figgy was trying to counterpunch him, and Figgy was waiting for Rob to throw, but Rob was waiting for Figgy to throw. So I don't know. It was like Rob Font looked like stage fright, and he wasn't really himself. He wasn't using his jab like he usually does. And then Figueiredo was landing, but, like, it wasn't really, like, landing a couple at a time. I feel like it was, like, he'd maybe land like there was a couple big shots that he landed, but I really didn't see him landing like any like crazy combos. I didn't really see like impressive combos. Like, oh, look at that 1-2. Oh, look at that boom, boom, boom. Like, oh, look at that flurry. You didn't really see anything like that. It was like all just like one and done. Like, you know, either it didn't land or it did and it was a big shot. That's really what I was seeing, but that's not really what Figgy's usually like. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, Figgy, I think he was, like, plus 100 or so like that. Looking back, you know, it's obviously 2020, but, you know, I wish I would have bet him because, you know, I did have faith that he could win the fight. I don't remember what my prediction was when we did it, but I did believe that he could win the fight. I mean, I never thought he couldn't win the fight, but, yeah, I mean, 6 out of 10. He looks good. I mean, he's a bantamweight now, so let's see. People are saying him and they want him and Peter Yan now.
I don't mind that fight. Figueiredo definitely is going to have to probably chalk up at least 4 or 5 W's at bantamweight before they even consider probably giving him a title shot. So, and bantamweight is probably one of the deepest divisions in the UFC. But I did like the way his power translated up to bantamweight. The landing four out of seven takedowns, that's cool. But if you gonna land takedowns, at least go for submissions to me. But when you look at the stats, man, Rob Font was the busier of the fighters. 48 of 96 total strikes, 46 of 94 significant strikes, 39 of 85 head, 5 of 6 body, 2 out of 3 legs. Then you look at Figueredo, 84 total strikes, 74 significant strikes. That's just thrown, not landed. So, yeah, man, Font was the busier of the fighters. But, hey, we'll just pay more attention to Figueredo as he moves up, man. I think they're going to make him win at least 3 or 4 fights before they put him in the title picture, man. He's going to have to at least win 4. All right.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens. I mean, it's
too early. It's too early. Is he one fight in a bantamweight? We ain't going to crown him yet.
It was a 6 out of 10 performance. So that's just it. And they just like to hype everything. You know what I mean? I'm glad I watch every event because I get to see fights like that. And that card was a banger. And a lot of people said if you had put a title fight on top of that card, that was a pay-per-view type of main card. And it was, you know, and even the prelims was. Like, you had fights, like Misha Tate was there. Like, you had fights there that it made sense. You're like, okay, like this could be a big pay-per-view. But overall, I want to get to this, and I got to ask you about this. Are you a fan of Ryan Garcia?
Not really. But one thing I can say is he do bring a lot of eyes to the sport of boxing. His followers will buy pay-per-views, and they will watch his fights.
After watching the Tank versus Ryan fight, I mean, I definitely became a fan of Ryan Garcia. I'm not like religiously following him, but he is an interesting character to me. I definitely am a fan. I liked, you know, the way he spoke after the Tank fight, and I liked the grace that he came with, and you know, he wasn't like talking trash or anything. You know, he was respectful about it, and you could tell that he accepted it, you know, pretty quickly that he lost, and it was. You know, obviously it sucks, but I just like the way he spoke about it. I thought it was real. You know, I thought it was real shit the way that he, you know, the type of energy he came with. And I didn't know if you had. I figured since you don't really, if you might not have seen it, but at the press conferences leading up to it, I guess, you know, Oscar De La Hoya, Bernard Hopkins had you know, they kind of got into it at like one of the pressers before it. And Ryan Garcia was kind of calling them out, saying that, like, you guys want me to lose, and, like, you think this guy's the next new star, and you guys are hoping he beats me and all this stuff. And I'll just send you the video because for me to try to break it down, like, it's not enough context, but I'll have to send you it. But it really is. I'll just say this. It's kind of karma on Oscar De La Hoya if he was kind of plotting on one of his fighters, because Ryan Garcia, I believe, is signed to Golden Boy, so you should be backing, you know, probably, not probably, I mean, realistically, your biggest name, you know, right? I mean, that's probably the biggest name over there. You should probably be backing him. Plus, he's just one of your fighters. But it is kind of karma the way that Ryan Garcia ended up knocking that dude out after they had, I guess they talked a lot of trash about him and he wasn't happy, and then he goes and knocks that dude out after they said we're going to beat him. So I'm glad to see him back in the win column, though. You know, definitely happy about that.
Yeah, it's a big fight for him, man. You know, a guy like that who, you know, trying to cut his teeth in the real sport of boxing. You know, it's a good fight for him. It's a lot of things when you watch him fight that you know that top-rated competition will always beat him because of, number one, his lack of hand movement and his lack of defense. But that'll come down the road, man, you know, in future fights. You know, he said that he wanted to fight Rolly next, the guy that Tank beat. He said he wanted to fight him next. So I kind of like that fight for both of them. Both of them are A-level fighters, but they ain't as bad as C-level fighters, so they kind of right there in the middle between A and C. So I wouldn't mind Rowley versus Ryan next, but I think Rowley needs to get up out of his head thinking that he's the A-side when Ryan Garcia is going to bring so many eyes to that fight. Bro, play your part. You're the B-side, bro. It's okay. Because you're going to get pay-per-view. You're going to get gate. So calm down. You're going to make probably more money in the Ryan Garcia fight than you'd have made in any other fight, probably outside of the Tank fight. So, man, come on, man. Do business. Make the fight happen. But,
And that's funny because I meant to ask you about that, too. You see Rowley saying that he doesn't want to fight him, that Ryan Garcia doesn't deserve to share the ring with me?
Yeah, I saw that. I think I responded to that on Twitter, man. Because, first of all, Rowley, it's probably going to be one of your biggest paydays, bro. So, outside of the Tank fight. So, what are you doing? Are you afraid to make money? I don't get it. He'll probably reevaluate.
Second of all, didn't he win the belt on a fluke?
Yeah, on the fight he said
he ain't even really the champ. He liked the paper champ over there. I saw the replay. That was a suspect stoppage. I don't even know what the hell that was. That was like one of the most bizarre things I've seen in a fight, bro. That stoppage was really weird. I don't know what was going down. And the fact that he won the title off that, what? That's crazy.
True. True. What is wrong with that, man? Because I know I commented on it. I might have did it under my other profile. But, yeah, man, Rowley, man, come on, dog. But I'd rather Ryan, to me personally, I'd rather see him fight Shakur Stevenson. I think that's the fight to make. Both of them are big names. And plus, Haney has basically vacated all his belts at 135. So, hey, give you a chance to win some belts.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, too, I think Ryan will beat him down, too. I mean, Rowley, I saw the Tank fight. Rowley's, he's good, but I think Ryan will beat him, though. You know what I mean? And it's you might as well. He's saying he wants to move up a division and go fight at, I think he said he wants to fight at 147 or 154 or what division he was talking about, but I don't know what he was talking about, because realistically, like you said, he's going to make a huge payday to take that L.
Yeah.
You're going to make a huge payday to lose that belt, bro, and get beat down. So you might as well just take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, because I want to say he said it's some big names at 147. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, Earl not at 147 no more. Danny Garcia not at 147 no more. Terrence Crawford, I don't think he's fighting at 147 anymore. Sean Porter Jr., he definitely ain't fighting at 147. You know, he retired. So who really at 147 outside of Boots Ennis and Keith Thurman? So, man, go ahead with that, bro. But, you know, man, speaking of boxing, man, we got Devin Haney going against Progress this weekend. Man, I got static with Devin Haney, bro. I got static with Devin. You know, I don't like to have beef with fighters, man, with athletes, man. But I got beef with Devin Haney, bro. You at 135. You unify the belts against Kambosos. You lose. You win a tough fight against Lomachenko that a lot of people feel either should have been a draw, maybe you even lost. So then you go up to 140 knowing that Tank and Shakur Stevenson and Loma is still at 135. It seems to me like he's running from the smoke instead of running to the smoke. Those are two big fights that you could have against Tank and Shakur. But no, you rather go up to 140. Seems to me like he ducking smoke, bro. I don't like it. You know, I think it's bad for the sport. But Devin, I think he's going to have another tough go Saturday night, man. But I'll probably be watching for sure.
So the thing I'm trying to get to is that Ryan Garcia, to my knowledge, was already at 140 before, right? And he actually moved down.
Yep, he fought Tank at 135.
And then Tank had the rehydration clause so he's basically drained out and he can't gain the water weight back, which I didn't realize. It didn't occur to me what that meant until that fight happened, and then I read into it and I'm like, what are they talking about with rehydration clause? So basically, the UFC has no rehydration clause. There is none of that in the UFC because everybody is gaining the water weight. Everyone's gaining the weight back, and you only need to be on that. You only need to be on weight to make weight, and then the next day, we all know that most of these fighters, most of them, heavier than what they weighed in at. So
yep.
A lot of these dudes are not fighting at 135. They're probably fighting about 150. You know what I mean? A lot of these 145ers, Max Holloway, we know damn well he's not 145. He's probably about 160, 165, you know what I mean? Tyron Woodley, you know, that dude is like 210 in real life, you know what I mean? He was fighting at 170. You think he was actually at 170? Dude was probably 185, 190 when he was in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
most
like,
of these dudes are not actually,
there's
no rehydration,
there's no rehydration clause.
If we would have that in the UFC, dudes would actually have to stay at that weight, and you would probably see a lot more finishes because dudes would be too drained out and they would be chinny and they would be getting, so you would see guys getting KO'd left and right. And
Alex Pereira against Izzy.
What are you saying the rematch was?
When Alex Pereira knocked out Izzy, they fought at what, 185? And I think when he walked into the cage the night of the fight, he probably was wearing probably upwards to about 210. 213, something like that.
They fought at 1-8. Yeah, exactly. And Izzy fights more near that size. So when he actually weighs in, he's close because he's actually a smaller guy. And I think he likes to have the speed. So he's actually fighting lower. Like when he said he fought Yambakovic, he said, like, Yambakovic is probably about 220 when he gets in there, maybe more. He might be like 230. And when Izzy fought him, Izzy said that he was coming in. I think Izzy weighed in like 190. He was like 190, 195.
Yeah, he was under 205.
Yeah, but they said it was cool because it wasn't against the rules. He was able to.
Yeah.
You could be under the weight, but you can't be over the weight.
Over. Yep.
I don't think there's a rule for how under the weight you are can be.
Yeah, because, you know, it's crazy that the UFC doesn't have the rehydration clauses, whereas in boxing and the state of California, they do have the rehydration clauses that you only can rehydrate up to 10%. And I think the UFC will be smart to adopt the same rule because it does lean the competitive balance. You know, when it comes to the fight. So, but we'll see how they work that out.
So, yeah, that's basically, you know, Ryan Garcia, he basically got fucked is what happened. Tank had him go down. Tank made him go down to 130. That was kind of bullshit when you think about it, because what they probably should have did was either – If boxing always does the rehydration, because I hear that sometimes it doesn't happen. So sometimes they won't do it. So if what should have happened is either Probably the most likely thing is they probably should have fought at a catch weight. That's probably what would have made it work out for both, is if you do fight at a catch weight, like 137, 138 or something, so that it's in the middle of both where you guys would actually fight at. And if you want to do no rehydration clause, then at least, you know, it's not, maybe it's not killing you that. But you never know, like, what weight they need to actually get to after. Like, I don't know, like, what weight they're trying to be at. Like, if he's weighing in at 140, like, is Ryan actually like 150 mm-hmm. when he's fighting last weekend? Like, that part I don't know. So I don't know, like, what would be drained and what isn't. But because in the UFC we don't have that going on, because guys are just gaining all the weight back and no one's actually the weight that it says they are. So we're pretty much getting scammed. You know what I mean? It's the thinking that dudes are fighting in these divisions, they're way bigger. It's like,
yep,
look at Aljamain.
Way bigger.
Aljamain was trying to weigh in, and he said, Aljamain, I wish it happened, because you know they said Josh Emmett's fighting Bryce Mitchell now instead of Giga Chikadze?
Yes.
He's fighting, yeah. Giga Chikadze, I think, pulled his groin, which is pretty fucked up, bro. That's like, shit, that probably hurts like hell. So he pulled his groin, I'm pretty sure. And they're fighting Bryce Mitchell now. But I was hoping, but Aljamain Sterling, you know, my boy, you say me and Aljo are boys, which, hey, we might be. I don't know. But Aljamain Sterling said that he weighed in 166. And he was like, yo, I weigh 166 tonight, like, you know, hashtag featherweight funk. So he was trying to say, like, yo, I'll step in and fight Josh Emmett, like, 166. I'll get down in time. When's that fight? And like, that fight's next weekend. So it's like so he's like 10 days out.
Yep.
So Aljo would be 10 days to cut 21 pounds. But that right there is like, you know, Aljamain's, I think, been maybe bulking up because he knew he was going to go to 145, but how much do you think he actually walks around at? You think that's probably where he walks around at anyways?
Nah, I would probably add 30 pounds to it, 30, 35 pounds to it.
So he's probably like welterweight size in real life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Aljamain, so him going, so Aljamain could maybe, you think he could fight at 155? Oh, he'd be too small.
I think he'd be too small for 155, but I think he should be able to compete at 145.
Yeah, because I think, man, I was so excited. I would have wanted to see him fight Josh Emmett, bro. Oh man, I was excited, man. I was hoping they did that. I mean, Bryce Mitchell is whatever. I'm not really checking for that fight, but it's cool. I would have wanted to see Aljo, bro. That would have been sick. You know what I mean? I would have been so sick. I love when these dudes just start sending in pictures of them on the scales, bro, and they're like, yo, put me in, coach. You know what I mean? I love when that starts happening, bro. Everybody's tentative. They start sending in their weight. You know what I mean? I love it, bro. Dudes start coming from the woodwork. You know what I mean? They start coming out from left field. You see dudes that we haven't heard from in years start popping up on the scale. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Like, you know, Poirier starts sending his weight in for welterweight fights and all this shit, and like one of the last times when we had that, like everybody was sending in their weight. I was like, yo,
yeah.
Oh man, I love that shit, bro. I love when I see it, bro. I love everyone wanting to step up. That's so sick. You know what I mean, that gets me so amped.
Well, bro, man. But you know, man, boxing, they need to fix the rehydration thing. And definitely Ryan got the short end of that because Tank didn't have it in his contract that he could only rehydrate. He didn't have it at all on his end. But, you know, man, it's just some things boxing need to work out. And I think it's probably something they can take notes from the UFC, bro. What else we got? What else we got tonight, man? We got a UFC event coming up this weekend. Man, boy, the UFC been busy. Let's see. Ooh, we got Song versus Gutierrez. You got to school me on the Gutierrez kid. But I know this Young Dong Song, man. Tough cookie. So Gutierrez, I hope you come in there and you biting down on that chin, on that mouthpiece, because Song is a tough guy, man. Whoo!
Yeah, so I'm going to be real. I really don't know that much about Chris Gutierrez. I just know that, you know, he was a guy that, you know, popped up on my radar when they had him fight, you know, the ghost of Frankie Edgar, and, you know, he knocked out Frankie Edgar. I think that was at MSG. I want to say it was I don't remember exactly when that was, but, yeah, he knocked out the ghost of Frankie Edgar with, like, a flying knee, and, you know, they pretty much just set him up in that spot, and that was just kind of whatever to me, because Frankie Edgar is way past his time. He's, you know, his chin is gone. You know what I mean? So, you know, they put these guys there to fight him, and it's like, bro, I don't care if he could beat Frankie Edgar, bro. This guy is has been knocked out many, many, many times now. Like, it doesn't matter to me that these dudes can beat him. So they try to sell Chris Gutierrez off of beating Frank Yeager. It's like, bro, I don't care. That doesn't mean anything. Like,
and then he turned around and lose to Pedro Munhoz in the next fight after Frankie Yeager.
Oh, well, Chris Gutierrez lost to Pedro?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, look, now you actually thought to have him fight, like, the top of the division. Pedro was still the top of the division, even though I think he wasn't as good as, you know, they were mocking him to be when he knocked out, you know, the ghost of Cody Garbrandt, because they tried to pretty much sell Pedro Munhoz the same way. You know, they said he was ready for the title, and he pretty much, you know, that didn't really age well. Even though he is fighting the top, he's fighting, you know, some of the best guys, so it's not to say that he's terrible. It's just I don't think he was as good as, you know, he was hyped up to be at one time. And, yeah, Chris Gutierrez is okay, but, I mean, I think Song's gonna smack him around, bro. That's my prediction for that. I think Song's about to show us something in this fight, man. Song needs to have his big main event spot, and I think this is his fight, you know what I mean? This card, he's pretty much like, I mean, really, he's pretty much the biggest name on this card. I mean, this is his card. It's like UFC, the Song Yadong show. It's pretty much what this card is called this weekend. This is the Song Yadong show, and he's about to show out in the main event, smack Chris Gutierrez around, bro. That's my prediction.
Totally,
he's going to smack him around. And Song Yadong's that dude, and he's another guy that's always been fighting the best guys. You know, he always takes the tough fights. You never see him shying away from the tough fights. He fights everybody. So Song just needs he get to have, like, that big main event moment, you know, and I think this will be his big main event moment. He's going to have a big performance here. He might even – I want to say he even finishes the fight. I think Song is going to finish the fight, and he's going to smack Chris Gutierrez around and finish the fight. That's my prediction, Song Yadong. I'm going to go with TKO. I think he's going to smack him. Probably, like, we're going to go with the key special for this one. I think the third round TKO is coming, bro. That's what we're going down with.
I'm going with the cousin of the King special. I'm going with the second round TKO.
Boom. And that's it, man. That's it. And that's it. To close us out, man. We're going to close on that. You cool to close on that? We'll talk about BKFC next week.
Oh, yeah, man. I want to talk about Mike Perry. Yeah, we'll do it next week.
Next week. Yeah, we're way over, and we got time, like, until his next fight and everything, you know. So that gives us something that we can get into BKFC, and then, you know, we'll get into UFC 296. And then we'll also – well, actually, we didn't really get to talk about Devin Haney either. Oh, my God. All right, so so next week we'll recap
about
what happened.
Enough.
Yeah, we talked about actually that's true. You did talk about him. Lee's not really he's beefing, man. He's not feeling Devin Haney, man. I think Lee's rooting for Regis Progrius this weekend, man. He's taking Regis Progrius at +300. That's the thing.
I really have never seen him fight, but the way he talks a good game. So if he can fight as well as he talk, he gonna do some things in that ring. So we shall see. But yeah, man. Man, we covered a lot tonight, bro. We did a whoo, these last two shows, boy. We definitely been packing them in. So yeah, man. Any last words?
Nah, just yo, stay up. Take care of your mental health. You know, I know I have been. It's a tough time of year for a lot of us. So
yeah.
Stay focused, positive, and I saw someone say this the other day, and think about this, you know. You would never, when we talk to ourselves in our head, you know, it's easy to have, you know, negative thoughts about yourself. You know what I mean? There's always a voice in your head. You know what I mean? And what's the way that you talk to yourself in your head? You know what I'm saying? Don't be harsh on yourself, because someone said this, and I thought it was so real. They said, would you ever talk to your relatives or your loved ones the same way you talk to yourself? They said, would you ever talk to your loved ones, relatives, the same way you talk to yourself in your head all day, beating yourself up in your head? No, you wouldn't. You would never do it. So that just shows it right there. Watch the way that you speak to yourself as well. And now I'm talking about in your thoughts. Don't let yourself get on a negative thought pattern about yourself. That's not, you know what I mean? You would never do your family like that or your friends like that or speak to, you know, anybody like any of your loved ones like that. So there's no reason to speak to yourself like that either. And yeah, I'll leave out on that, and we'll cover BKFC, recap the boxing and UFC 296 next week.
Yeah, boy. Everybody have a good one. Take care of you, take care of yourself, take care of others. That being said, we're always in the show with a peace.